The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they'd had no leisure even to eat. They went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Now, you all know I'm a fan of those little Bibles. It's that black book that's in your pew, the one where we get these readings from every week. You know that one? So I want you to pull out the Bible for a second. It's important. So pull out your Bible. You can share with a friend. You even have one there, Bob. It's all multicolor. So, and in your Bible, you're going to turn to, I think it's page 55, which is where Mark chapter 6, verse 30 is. It's where our gospel starts today. I'm going to make Baptists of you all yet with these Bibles out. I'm failing, though. I don't have mine up here. So, if you look at Mark 30... it's where our reading starts today. And previously, if you think about what we've heard the previous few weeks, we've had Jesus healing Jairus' daughter and healing the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. We have Jesus sending out the disciples two by two. You remember that from 2 weeks ago? And then last week was the really awesome Herod beheads John the Baptist, you know, just for some good drama. And then we get today's reading. And the apostles have just come back. And so if you read 30 through 34, it was the first half of today's gospel reading. And so they come back and Jesus says, "Hey, let's go take a break." And then everybody finds them. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. And then we skip over, if you look at verses 35 through 52, the feeding of the 5,000, I don't know, kind of a linchpin in Jesus' ministry, I think. We skip that, and we skip Jesus walking on water out to the disciples in the boat. And then we come back to hear that they've landed in Gennesaret, and they're going to do some more healing on Mark 53 to the end of that chapter. So I feel like we've been left with two pieces of bread and all of the filling, right? All of the good, juicy story in the middle about the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on water. Walking on water, kind of important around here, right? It's not that we don't see it every Sunday. Right, psh, that's gone. We're left with these two pieces of bread, but you want to know what? That's okay, because Jesus is the bread of life. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. You got to give me some credit. That's why they leave me here and I don't get to go do beach mass anymore. But I think it's easy for us to be like, oh, these are just kind of a beginning and ending. These are kind of some bookend throwaway stories. But I think that we would be remiss if we don't pay attention to what Scripture is talking to us today. Because I think in the first half, in that first half of the verses 30 through 34, we have an extremely human experience with Jesus that all of us can relate to. So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say, have you ever had a plan? Like, you have a plan. You have a really good plan. Here's how it's all going to happen. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. And then, just as you're getting to what you've been planning, something happens and it changes, right? And so now you aren't getting what you wanted, and you have to cancel what you had planned, or you have to rearrange what you had planned, or it didn't work out the way you wanted because somebody else interfered. I'm not the only one who's had that happen, right? Any of you? Can you admit that? Peter. Peter, every Sunday, Peter, you go through that. So this is, I think, where Jesus is having what I would call a human experience. Because the apostles, he sent the apostles out, and they go out, and who knew? They were successful. And so we see them today in verse 30, and they're coming back, and they're like, wow, Jesus, it was amazing. We went out, and we taught, and we healed, and we spread the good news. Holy smokes, like, we didn't even have time to eat. There was just, like, so much to do. And we're out there, and Jesus goes, that is awesome. And you want to know what? We need to go. We need to go to the wilderness. And the reason Jesus says the wilderness is because this is the Gospel of Mark. And if you go back to the beginning of Mark, Jesus is baptized and immediately is tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. So Jesus taking the disciples, the apostles, back to the wilderness is to take them back to get reconnected, to stay regrounded, to stay focused on what is important. And so Jesus has this great plan. That's awesome, guys. Everybody get in the boat. We're going to go over there. It's going to be great. We're going to have some well-deserved R&R. It'll be awesome. Except for the people were desperate for the good news that Jesus had. And they figured out where they were headed. And they started running around the Sea of Galilee to get there before them. And so here they are pulling up in their boat, and the deserted place is filled with people. Not so deserted anymore. Somebody's plan got changed. Or if you read the business books, 15 years ago, somebody moved Jesus's cheese. It's true. So there's this part of me, I read this story, and I think, oh, man. Come on, like, if you had your vacation planned, and then it just got tossed aside, right? If you were going on retreat, and you had been looking forward to it, and you show up, and instead you have a big party going on, ugh. Right? So here's Jesus and the disciples. You know, and here they are. And it's just like having our own plans changed. You know, a friend of mine was telling me the other night, oh, we're finally going to get date night. It had been like 4 months and we're going to have date night. And then the kids got a fever, right? No date nights. Things happen. And so sometimes you and I, with our best laid plans, with our deepest desires, something or someone else comes between you and that, and it's frustrating. It could be frustrating, annoying, angering, it could make you peeved. Am I hitting any? Yes? Y'all with me on this? But Jesus has every right to be all of those, and yet Jesus gets up there, and he has a different vision, which is just like Jesus. Jesus has a different vision, and he sees all of these people. He sees his people, and they are hungry for the good news. They are so hungry, they have run halfway around a lake to come and find Jesus. And rather than Jesus being like, man, this is my away time, y'all go sit over there till I'm done, and then I'll come find you, right? He doesn't put them in time out. No. He sees these people. And here's the word of the day. He sees these people, and what does it say that Jesus has? He has compassion. Jesus finds compassion for these people who are desperate. Jesus recognizes that these people aren't out to get Jesus. They aren't out to personally take away his rest time or his private time with the disciples. They aren't trying to mess with his mission. Rather, these people are in need. And they have rushed to find Jesus, gathering others as they go because they are hungry for what Jesus has to offer. They are hungry for the bread of life. They are hungry for the good news, and Jesus has compassion for them. He sees that their need in this instant is more important, and that he has the reserve to give to them, even though a nap would have been a nice thing. And instead of taking time for himself, Jesus goes and practices compassion, and he teaches them many things. That's what our scripture says today. He has compassion, and he teaches them many things. Now, I want to have a note about compassion. Compassion without boundaries is not compassion. Taking on other people's problems as your own is not compassion. Not taking care of your own needs so that you take care of others to your own detriment is not compassion. Doing more than you are asked is not compassion. Jesus isn't saying that you have to be responsible for everybody and everything and every single need. Jesus is telling you to practice compassion. And what is compassion? Compassion to me is realizing that everybody else is doing the very best they can. Compassion, I'm going to say that again, is realizing that everyone else, whatever their actions or their words, is doing the very best they can in that moment. Compassion is treating those people doing the very best they can with love and care and attention. Think about the apostles. They had done the best they could teaching and healing. Those people who came running around to find Jesus, they were doing the best thing they could to come and find that good news they had heard about. And while Jesus and the disciples might have appreciated a break, they knew they had it in themselves to teach once more. And so they did. They had compassion. So I want you to think back to your perfect plans that might have gone awry, those moments when you can see it with a better vision and somebody else messes with it, like when the rector tells the crucifer to go out on an earlier verse of the hymn than the acolyte master has planned it. Every week we have to go through this. But think about your perfect plan, your perfect vacation, your perfect date night, your perfect job interview, your perfect business, your perfect family structure, your perfect financial well-being, whatever it is. And then I want you to think about the person who has messed that up. And what does it look like for us to practice compassion on others? What does it look like for you and me to remember that everyone, even the people who annoy us and frustrate us and anger us and disappoint us, all of those people are doing the very best they can? What does it look like for us to practice compassion with them. Maybe compassion is for us to stop and listen and hear those needs, and for us to see if we can do something about it. Maybe compassion even includes saying what our needs are in the middle of this. But Jesus's point is that compassion is something you practice. It's not a virtue that we hold within us. Compassion is a spiritual discipline that we engage in each and every day. Jesus doesn't just call us to love as he loved. Jesus calls us to show compassion as he showed compassion. And you know how we do this? Do you know not just how we do this, but do you know how we know we're supposed to practice compassion? I want to turn the lens for a moment and ask, how many times have you or I been the one who messes up someone else's plan? How many times have you and I been the crowd who runs around to the other side and says, Jesus, teach me, tell me? And when we've done that, when we realize we're the reason someone else's thing didn't go right, what have we hoped for? We've hoped that others would show us compassion. We hoped that others would stay in relationship with us. We hoped that together we could listen to one another and remain in relationship, and we would hope that others would recognize we were doing the very best we could at whatever moment everything went awry, even when that wasn't what others had hoped for. So this week, I hope that you will ponder and pray and practice compassion. I hope that you will pray about where is it you need compassion shown to you in your own life? Where is it that you need to practice that compassion that Jesus did to others who are in your own life? Where is it that Jesus is calling you to follow his example, to give the other person the benefit of the doubt, and like Jesus, to practice compassion? Amen.